CEO Mr. S. Simpeki, and the other senior manager and board members of CHETA and MQA. I would also like to welcome the departmental officials, media members of the public, and other distinguished guests. Thank you for taking your time to come to this meeting. The purpose of this meeting is mainly to consider the MQA and CHETA strategic plan for 2015 to 2020 and annual performance plan for 2015 to 2016 as required by the Public Finance Management Act and Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act. These strategic plans and annual performance plans were tabled in Parliament on the 11th of March 2015 for consideration and report by the Portfolio Committee. Our role as the Portfolio Committee is to assess the targets and performance indicators in the strategic plan and ACT against government priorities. Also, we look at objectives of the White Paper on Post-School Education and Training, NDP vision for the post-school education and training sector and other socio-economic demands of society. I must mention that the Portfolio Committee met with the Auditor General of South Africa on the 11th of March 2015 to get a briefing on the audit outcome of the 2015-16 ACT of the Department and its entity. The AG reported that the MQA and CHETA's ATTs were among the sitters with ATTs that were in line with National Treasury Smart principles. I think you're starting well. Thank you very much. We congratulate you there. We just want maintenance of this program. The onus now is on the leadership of both CETA and CETA to ensure that all the targets for the current financial year are achieved. I repeat, all the targets for the current financial year are achieved. With this new way, we would like to thank you once more for taking the time to come and hope that we will have constructive engagement. Thank you very much. So let's proceed with our agenda. We are now on item number 30, so 3, which is introduction. Okay, I'm sure the country is apologies. Shall we entertain apologies? Any apologies?
Thank you. We'll speak to our register members. Mr. Kikani is finalized on the economic arrangements of this big matter. Mr. Kassim is also in Parliament. We also received the apologies from the Deputy Minister, who is the Minister, who is a big South Korean and working in the country.
Honourable members, we accept the apologies. Apologies accepted. Shall we then proceed to okay, from your time, show everybody what we can get in the department. Thank you very much. We'll then proceed to three, which is introduction. I am Yvonne Gwendo reporter, but I'm commonly known as. So if you go around asking for Yvonne, you won't come. Right, I'm the chairperson of this committee. And then, Honorable Member, I would like to proceed and do the chat.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Yvonne Gwendo, member of the committee.
Thank you.
Morning, my name is Suella Gelson, member of the committee.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Omar, member of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Judy Kinnan, committee member.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Susan King, member of the committee. Thanks,
Good morning, the members of the committee member.
Thank you, Professor Boruni. We will then, move over this slide. Okay, we are accompanied by the official daily, which is just finished with our slide.
committee.
Good morning, Mr. Omar, CFO of the NGA.
Good morning, honorable member.
Good morning. My name is Dan Sigrey. I'm the chief executive officer of the NGA.
Good morning. My name is Susan Kilde. I'm the executive director for corporate services at the NGA.
Morning. Hassan Mr. Patel. I'm CEO of OBS.
Good morning, Mark for Antifa, the chief executive of the top transport.
My name is Simon Duvan, the CFO for CISA.
Thank you. Morning, my name is Wendy Dover, the chief executive of Antifa.
Good morning, my name is Duran Bainson. I am the board member for CISA and the chairperson of the Freightland Asia and Pacific.
Good morning, my name is Veronica Mensaka. I am the board member of CISA. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Asam Manitel and I am the company secretary for CISA.
Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Takiko. I am the board member of CISA.
Good morning, I am Philip Sebastian, CISA board member and chairperson of the Aerospace Chamber.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Sherry Travis, also a board member and chair of Finance and HR Committee.
Good morning, my name is Roland Chapman. She's a board member and chairperson of the agenda.
Good morning, Lucky Kulule is my name. I'm a board member from TISA and again, chair of the Rotary Chamber.
Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Namova Ubani, director of TISA Performance Management. From the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning. My name is Marito Oronka. I'm Chief Director of the Coordination in the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Thank you.
Morning, Chair President Mendes. Can you introduce the output of involvement?
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Elijah Mwodola. I'm the Coordination in the Department.
I'm a researcher for the Minerals Corporate Committee.
Thank you. Are we done? Good morning, my name is Paula Corrin. I'm the Parliamentary Assistant Commissioner. Thank you. Good morning.
I'm Susie Sotani, Kino Widow, so the Deputy Minister.
Thank you.
You are the first lady CLO in the Minister.
Thank you.
No, I am not the chairman in the office of the Deputy Minister in the Asia.
Morning, I am Shingina Rabok from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you very much. Now let me introduce ourselves. Please make this meeting our meeting and introduce ourselves for constructive and well-informed robust debate. Now move over to item number
know, the public, when they put themselves within the mind, they think about health and safety. So for us, as an NGO, it's very important that we have to play an integral role in ensuring that we improve on health and safety. In fact, we have played an integral role and we will continue with all of the transformation issues in terms of the mining charter. For instance, if you consider before the prolongation of what we call the NPRPA,
through the entry policy and strategic context, the overview of current entry environment is critical to our future coalition. The entry and skills development and prevention, our vision, mission, and values, entry context in terms of our strategic goals, and then the strategic and community security, coming together with the financial protection, and then the way forward. The MHA is operating under a number of different laws and environments that is characterized by the desire of the country to achieve sustainable and especially to improve the lives of people. Now, if you look at our context of MHA in terms of policy and studies, we are directed by a number of acts and a number of legislation. Road Safety Act is our mind and health. Mine has the Safety Act of 1986, the PFMA, and the MDFPA. And then we also have the NDC 2013. We have the Outcomes Empowerment Program. And we also are in the space of the mineral resources, as we are the mining system, in which we are part of the mineral beneficiation strategy, which I'll talk about later on. The green mining. Recently, we also had our mine health and safety summit, which a number of proposals came out of the net, taking MQA going forward as to what are the rules that will be taken out by MQA. And finally, we also have a commitment to our mining charter. There are a number of things, a number of issues that MQA has been handling. And you see that this was the day of the new charter, it's important that the MQA is we have the LSDS 3, we have the set post-school education and training, and then we have the D. At MQA, our main focus is really on skill development, health and safety, and transformation of the mind. We are playing in the space of national development plan at MQA. And notably here, I have not emphasized that we are in the stage of chapter 9 and 10, but in practice, we are also involved in the chapter 3 about the economy and employment, and also in chapter 15, being a developmental stage, we are also in that stage. I think my presentation about the different programs that we are handling will showcase the activities of the engineering field. But here, I think it will suffice to mention that we support the medical science and technology, especially expanding it to the rural community. And also the fact that we are also ensuring that we have a very well balanced representation of demographics in the lectures that are involved in our program. We are also involved in the HIV/AIDS5. Our role is very critical at MUA, and we are supporting the CS policy. MQA has presence in about 6 of these colleges which are in the rural area, our central destination. And we have also put in place coaches to ensure that whenever we have young people that are coming into the sector, we have the mentor that will help them understand the dynamics of the area and the mining sector. And these coaches are helping us look at the students. We are also involved in the empowerment of our community, and we ensure that we establish alternatives to the mining, and also ensuring that people become entrepreneurs, so that at least if at all there are challenges in the mining environment, people can still have a better life, and not have their life to regret. And finally, in terms of our drive to the health and safety, we have occupational health and safety programs. That has been extended to include a number of people than before. In the past, we used to focus only on the people that were chosen to represent the safety of people in the safety committee. But this has been extended to include public potential for promotion so that we get a better package to get prevent incidents in our mind situation. The next slide is our objective is identity. Members should be aware that before, CETA, we had a number of things that we were looking at. But I think very little people are aware that the livelihood of this country lies in taking a quality. Where we need to produce accidents, we need to produce electricity. When we talk about the infrastructure that is coming into the country, we really need to have people in place. Now, the CBEC is giving us exactly this. Because the CBEC is now not really only taking us, but putting more emphasis to say we need to vocational skills. But for the two to happen together, there is a need for us to have partnership between the employer, the technical committee, and us as the CBEC, probably through funding. So those three things are critical for the success of this CBEC. So this is a good concept, and if it is well supported, it will really have an impact on us. So our presence in those CBEC colleges at MGV is to ensure that those colleges that are hosting us, they can become centers of excellence. They can respond to the challenges of our industry, of our mining. So that the students that are coming out of it, they are of high quality and they are associated and linked with specific minds. As a result, we are strengthening the capacity of those communities. We let those communities have the respective lecture support and we let their lectures also come to our mind so that we treat them with our mind how they can be exposed to technical training, they can be exposed to technology that is there in the mining industry. In that way, we know and we believe that CBEC will be a success. Again, we have really made an emphasis that our career guidance should be a driving sector. Because as the chair has introduced Mr. Silva, when we tell the young people about mining, the first thing they ask you about that is about our age. They think mining is really very dangerous and all that. So we are on the drive to make sure that young people out there in the rural areas do understand that the future lies in mining as well. Because that's where we have real big contribution to our GDP. If we look at the overview of our current energy environment, there are a number of factors that come into play. The first is the government intensity. We are expected and we should do so to ensure that we revitalize our mining houses. In other words, as we start mining, we need to ensure that our companies are starting to build legacies in those mines. They start to make those mines preserved in those communities to be self-sustainable. At the end of my period, the places should not turn into what we used to call a gold town, but they should be finished. We have to ensure that operation and mining practices are also part of our drivers and create to take opportunities that are there, ensuring that we are ready with our people. People are skilled to take the opportunities that are brought about by the community. The same applies to cities. I think the members will remember the same experience we had in the certain room where we had our own people being on site, being on process because we were hiring people from outside. People like Welsh, we didn't have enough mechanics. We had to get these people from Korea, from elsewhere. And it's our drive to look into all these strategic infrastructure problems and have the people in our sector ready for such opportunities. If we look on the economic front, it was not really as very busy as in the past. There has been suffering of global and mining economic outcomes. And whenever we say this, our second respect, we have been very cautious going forward as well to say we are not in the best state of our economy as of now in mining. We have environmental issues in which the green issues are important, and we are also in that space looking at programs to say how are we going to implement these programs. And let us say it's very important these programs can only have in communities, both of them. We cannot have them acting at the mind because the mind has their own programs. But we as the MGA, we have to look into opportunities outside the community, which is happening currently. In terms of social dynamics,
meeting, KwaZulu-Natal, where people are coming from. But some of those areas were then mining, but their people have come to our areas of mining today to change this world. So we go back to them and take opportunities that are not mining related. Opportunities that may show that people are changing their own livelihoods outside mining. And rightfully so, people are getting protection to say, what we are here is teaching out for, we need to get benefits out of that. And it's exactly what we are trying to do. Coming to that, we have a number of young people who are roaming our streets. It was a very concerning group called, they call it the NEET. Those who are not at education, who are not at employment, and who are not in service. They're in between, they are there. We are reaching out to those young people. Because if a person has not made that attempt to address that group, it's a time bomb. It's a real time bomb. Because there is no future that is planned for them. There is no hope created for them. So we have in that way. Some of the highlights will be shown later on in the presentation. The changing phase of money. We have embarked on a program to have a different mind. We need to adopt and produce different minds as a public. Our trend in the past has been very good. Young people out there, young people back home, they will not equip themselves with educational skills. They will wait for the opportunities in the mind that their parents pass off. When my dad passes, I know I'm going to call because that's my succession test, the family succession test. But now we're taking hope in our community so that we start to develop it. That can either prepare young people to have what we call pre-employment training. To train them to understand that they are limited in mind so that by the time opportunities arise, they become a better mind. We take hope in them, not only become there, but become engineers, become our chief bosses. To become more mindful so that they don't wait to inherit the job that their fathers have been doing in the past 26 years. And we are also involved very, very seriously in the question of beneficiation. Chairman has to share his thinking. We have had a forum called by the previous Minister of Human Resources in the Machado. And the challenge was, MPA, what is it that you can do? We have all been training people to become dual as a role model, but we have not seen the impact of that. Now the big challenge was, how can we carve the way forward? And we said there was a forum called in September 2015, and a number of people invited to come and sit there. What came out of that was the need for us to create different goals. What we call it goals, what we call it goal order, what we call it goal to say, and a different. Then we develop a new curriculum. That is going to ensure that we pursue a path that will be better than worse. But at the same time, having an entrepreneurial flair. This person can either be employed or be able to produce their own way and create their own employment. I'm happy to report that curriculum has been finalized. And that curriculum has been sent to SAPA for registration. And we hope in the new year we'll start with three policies that are piloting this process. It's going to be a clear program, and we are lining up also the employers in the human field. Who will give these young people coaching and mentoring programs? So this, from next year we hope we'll have this thing going on. And the last challenge that we are having in the mining sector, I think, is the question of mechanization. As you are aware, our people are not really at that level of skills to handle all the issues of mechanization. And with mechanization comes transition. It is just people, and then itself will forget what I have addressed earlier. People will be at home with no skills, with no home. So the challenge will be out there, obviously, what it is that we are doing. The first is the employment sector. This slide, I just want to show
the MCMDA, we were having people like about 10,000-11,000 living in Australia. But since then until now, there has been a steady growth. We are now around 11%, we've got about 60,000-65,000 women who are working in the sector. And I will show later in our program with MGA that we are also seeing that number being increased. So that whoever is coming to our program is reflective of this growth that we have enjoyed so far. I know it's not enough, but we are always trying to increase this number. And one day when you invite us here, we give the citizen different picture of having a better side. This is a proposal that was prepared at the Portfolio Commission. Then we have a very shared MGA. And the first thing that we do as MGA is to go on a research whenever we are to start any career from scratch, or we are to start a program from scratch. And when we research, we end up coming with what we call skills, and this will be zoomed down into individual minds for the rest in stand. And out of this, we are directed to see what areas are of importance to us. Out of WSCs and SST, we are able to know through research that we have the policies that we have. So there is a list of research that we have that is informed us. So whenever we are visited, whenever we bring our program, it's informed by are we responsive to the sector? Are we addressing the critical skills and skills that the sector is looking at? And once that has been done, our next thing is to develop standards of what to develop qualification so that we are able to say this is a program, the next one we've done with this qualification and the sector. This is a program, now what are the standards, what is it that we need to develop it into a qualification? And once that is done, then we implement the program. And throughout, for quality purposes, we have each engineering quality assurance that will ensure that every time what has been approved is adhered to. If there is any tender, if there is a workshop, if there is a material itself, we have this way of ensuring quality throughout. Now, what does the material itself? Our mission, vision, and values. Our vision is to have a competent, health and safety oriented mining and mineral workforce. And we want to make sure that the mining and mineral sector has sufficient competent people will improve health and safety, employment equity, and increase productivity. A number of times I think we have also encountered that every time we ask our employers, we ask our industry, our sector, about people growing. The answer we normally get is that we don't have skills. So our mission at MQA is to ensure that we produce enough skilled people so that we in the MS sector, we cannot have an issue system, we don't have engineers, we don't have facilities. These people should always be there. And we want to ensure if there, they will improve the safety and health of our people. And in terms of the values, we believe in continuous training, the empowerment of our people, both internally and externally in our stakeholders, professionalism, honesty and mutual respect, and service excellence. Every year the MQA board has a visit to go out and review the programs of MQA and the strategy going forward. And currently, we are having 6 objectives that are guiding MGA's activities. And these objectives will be transferred or will be transformed into programs later on when I show you what we have in our sector. The first objective is to support the transformation of the sector through skills development. One of the challenges we have for transformation is exactly what we have just said about women. That we are looking to increasing our women in management and our women in senior positions. As a result, we have set a target of saying we are going to engage the mining houses. That once the change is
that way, we ensure that our pool of historically advantaged people, they are represented in our mining structure. The same happens at university, where we introduce the selection support. And the purpose of this selection support was very interesting. It was not just to up or make the demographics of universities better, but we also engage in areas where we did not have hope or money for our young people. We looked at positions where we never had black academics who can help and inspire young people to take a career, to take those so help them to take more. Let's have African black lecturers in this particular field. So that is a part of our contribution for transformation. The second objective is to support objective decision making for skills developers through research in the sector. We cannot gamble with people's lives. We cannot gamble with the current 6 months. By simply understanding what are the challenges out there and what needs to happen. For us to have fully fledged informed documents, I mean informed plan, we need to do research. And I'm so excited that we have research partners at university that are helping us out to ensure that what the sector is really out there is happening. And also to ensure that we are responsive to the demands and the challenges of the sector. The third objective is to enhance knowledge for management of skills development in the sector. This case goes much to our management information in which what happened in the past. Some might be saying you don't have any good things with you, electronic view or technological. So that is now our objective to say that we don't have to have any difficulties in communicating or sharing information with the sector. So throughout, we're involved with the sector. We are bringing the information that they need to do, and also taking all the opportunities that the employees are bringing to them. The fourth objective is our policy. This is the objective where we look at problems that are driving our sector. These are the four projects that are really different, but I'll touch on them later on. The first objective is to implement a monitoring evaluation and review of the human capacity and quality of training and development in the sector. This is an objective that was really a challenge when we first started. As the chairman said, the emphasis on the share of the time was the definition of value for money. And when we started to have value for money, it was very challenging with a lot of energy. When people are starting to say, now you want to share what I'm doing, I'm in heavy. But the bottom line is that we need to evaluate every problem. We need to follow up every revenue cent that we spend to ensure that we have value for money. Even when we ask to support training, we have this unit that will go out to ensure that we have warm bodies. Together with BGCA, Education and Training Foundation of Education, to ensure the money that is getting in class. So this is a relevant criteria for the NGA, and it is helping us a lot. We are able to then say we are delivering quality and not numbers and ticking boxes. The final objective is to run an efficient, effective, and transparent corporate governance system within the legislative framework. I'm happy, Madam Chair, you have acknowledged that at the beginning and congratulating us because it's exactly that you have been, that you are very vigilant to ensure that we stay within governance, that everything that we do, we are accountable. And we don't do things that are outside the book. And this is the rule that we are living by. And because of this, because of this objective that we are taking very seriously, everything should be accounted for. And we follow the responsibility to the moment.
Okay, so the challenge we have this morning is time constraints. I'm going to request, and I can see you really are passionate about it. Okay, we like it. But I'm going to ask you to jump to page 50, go straight onto your first thing. And the other members, I'm sure, thanks for the information, they are able to read it. Love your work.
transform is our plan, is our problem. And I'm just going to highlight it first, electoral development and the mental health vision and presentation. What I need to emphasize is that for this current, I mean the coming year, 27, I mean 16th regulation 19, our baseline is more than what we have been now for 15, 16. We are planning to keep this 27 in the later development so that we get them out of the system, because they are currently in the system, the lecturers that are there. Then from 18-19 we increase the numbers every year, but then it is 5. And the same with our program in research, we have been looking at the intention in terms of the impact studies, programs that are not being taken out quickly like our IELTS. We're looking at the research into that. And we'll be asking our number of research agenda going forward. It appears to be that the drive that we'll achieve to visit the families to get them to support, to give us their plan. And that in itself will be increasing going forward. If you go to the fifth, the cost of development, that is the 17. Here I have talked about our third in the career guidance, that will be increasing. Currently we are 10,000 students per year. And by 1920, we expect to be at 16,000. That will also be exponential. The same with universities, our placement of young people, which has been a challenge, to say that we want students that need to complete their 212 for them to get their qualification. And currently we are in 600 in the system that we can assist annually. And by 1920, we have increased that number to 750. I'll move quickly into slide number 21. And I just want to highlight on that slide that not only our training was made in the energy space, but if we get our progress in terms of the fatality system and global intervention, there has been a great improvement in the coal mines, oil mines, and all other mines. And this is related to the interventions of the OHS, which had a target that was set of saving about 40,000 people over a period of 5 years, and that has that year improved. I just want to show slide 23, which is also a critical slide in terms of our core business of development of artisans, that we are currently having about 5,225 in the pipeline, and I'm proud to report that since 2011, we have produced about 5,733, with 26% of those new females, and we are increasing the number going forward. I'm seeing the examples, the slides that have been examples. I want to jump to page 27, which is collaboration with the department and SOE that we said here. We are not waiting in isolation as NQA. We have a number of programs that we have partners with the different SOEs and traditional leaders. And I want to talk about traditional leaders that we have. Partners in Sikukuni, Chief Kukuni, in Guadalajara, Chief Ekala, SMGA, we have Chief Njoli, and also Chief Nguru in Ghana. These are the chiefs in the community that were involved in their progress in skills development, in fathering entrepreneurship, and also the important skills for young people. We are also in partnership with our state agency in terms of the program of the new curriculum that I referred to here. And then I will move to slide number 29 and ask the CFO to dig us through to the finances.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is just a 5-year projection where we started, sorry, on page 29, our baseline is 2015-16 financial year. I just want to touch on our funding and our finances. If we look at the last financial year, which is not on the slide, which we, the previous financial year, we actually ran out of not say cash lying around. However, I just wanted to highlight that we, our income that we expect to get for this new financial coming forward is about 926 million, and our expenditure is about 1.1 billion, and that would mean that we would have a slight surplus of 186 million, which is the first one. And if you look at our reserves that we had at the beginning of the year, was roughly about 490 million, which means that we will have a surplus of 304 million at the end of the financial year. However, that may not even be enough to cover commitment, so we need to look at additional funding. It's possible if our targets are increased. I think there is quite a bit of work to be done, especially in terms of autism and things like that. So we might have to look at this department for future funding in that regard. But if I just look at the trend, in terms of income, we look at the column going across from 2015-16, we have 956 billion in total income, and it stretches out to 1.1 billion after the 5-year period, so which ended 2019-2020. If you look at our expenditure, we went from 1.1 billion to about 1.395, and if you look at the trend, if we carry on like this, we're going to get into a deficit. Obviously, the funding will depend on our targets, how high our targets are going to be set going forward. We also want to mention that one of the reasons is that our cost of programs, especially autism, has increased dramatically. So that means you can either get additional funding for them, or we might have to relook at the targets, because I think we started, I think about 2-3 years back, we used to pay 90,000 for an autism. It went up to 139,000, and now I think it's 140,000 going forward. And this is our focus. So those are the things that affect us. However, I must say that this current financial year, we just ended, I think all our controls have been put in place. So we're working closely with the AG to finalize our numbers with hopefully things should be going smoothly. So thank you.
Madam Chair, I think you were mentioned before you were next to the chair. I just wanted to see another highlight that I thought that was just to be proper to. It's the question of balance. That we are also trying to increase the number of students that we take and address the shortages that we face in terms of formation. But since 2010 until now, we have produced about 1,119 and many in the field of mining engineering, metallurgy, mechanical engineering, and of course geology. And it's created of that has been finished. So I think the good achievement that we have been given in the field of some of the success.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for the presentation. And of course, I've gone through the document, the professionally written document. and the MQAS and the ASHIF in the area. However, the APC has over targeted in the 2015-2016. Now my question is, what were the reasons for the underachievement? Was there a main student waiting for the placement? And then how are they going to achieve the target that they have over raised once the equipment is achieved in the 2014-2015? Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank MQA for the presentation. However, I would like to say that mining is one of the key drivers for economic growth and job creation. Would like you to contribute meaningfully and assist us in eliminating the social challenges faced by our community and our people. You have set up offices in civil colleges in mining communities. What are the successes or impact recorded since its establishment? I think it's common in cities they would be visible where they have offices. But what I think as South Africans, we need to feel your presence in our area, because the main thing is skills development. It's just ensuring that our people learn skills that they can use in order to better themselves. So that is one of my concerns, and I would also love you to also have programs with KZN, because we do have mining camps like Zambius and Hauser, but not limited to that. We can also expand in other areas as well. The second question, I would like to know what skills are earmarked for mineral beneficiation. And lastly, it is on the target. For me, the success of an organization, I can see that with MQA, the management part of it, not look at the plan, but for us to be able to say MQA is working or it is making an impact, it will be around the achievement of talent. It is linked to what the honorable member has asked, and we would like you to put more effort in ensuring that your targets are smart in order for us to refill your contribution towards our people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. And let me also welcome the presentation. Of course, the chair of the board indicated that the key to the MEP's development, which is important and necessary to address the challenges that we face as a country. But even the history of failure to meet the targets, one might raise the question to say, how do you hope that we will be able to address the skills shortages in our country as we are failing to meet your own target that you set for yourself? The other issue is with regards to the transformation in the mine. Of course, we say you play a part in the transformation process. But what I would like to know, are the mines really transforming? Is there evidence to that effect to show that something good is happening? The third question relates to budgets that you are allocating. I just want to know whether you are working with any funds to prepare the budgets, or you do this yourself in-house.
cut year on year. And then last year, I said at some point, well, I think there's a tendency in South Africa to target certain teachers and certain specific skill areas, but at the time of when there is a high demand for either the private equities or the public equities would then increase the cost, which then reduces the number of young people that will be produced by the sector. Also, the projections I had immediately with the number does not link up with the financial support. The second one is, I like the social consciousness of breaking the cycle of family generational involvement into the man, in particular, on the same specific role from father to son. But my point of interest is, do you specifically target certain families whose fathers or relatives are in those specific minds, and then be able to focus on the schools from which the young people of these families are at, which is most probably the rural schools? And if you do that, then what is the scale of your numbers that you will be able to attend to financially, which means transforming those guys so that they don't actually become the same career person as their father? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to welcome the presentation and the very interesting strategic plan document that was presented. Obviously, as we all know, that there is going to be a new teacher landscape, so it's interesting to see your planning going forward. But we are essentially focused on this year, because at the end of this financial year, we will know better what the next phase of TITA will deliver. Chairperson, I would like to just ask, in terms of bursary allocation, what are our criteria used? Are we using the same type of criteria as of poor financial background of families, etc.? Do you combine that with critical skills that the economy would need to move forward? If you could just give us a better understanding of that. And then check us on the second issue, and it's a little bit of a cross-cutting of a question that I would like to pose. I'm really impressed with your situation analysis of the sector as a whole, to see how the sector is changing and how you should plan for these changes. I'm just a little concerned, maybe it's not collectively concerned, maybe you can answer the question. How do you measure your impact? Because nowhere do I see, and maybe you can directly, maybe I can miss it, where do I see successful placement of those who have gone through the necessary courses, etc. And also its impact on the whole mining sector. Are we really just scratching the surface? Do you accept that is the situation at present? And how do you build your partnership to make sure that you actually leverage your very strategic position as a mining sector? I am a little concerned if I look, if we speak of a 500,000 strong sector, and then we don't even mention the unemployed who are part of the mining community, that you are also making an impact, trying to make an impact. But if you look at that, do you have some other database that you can identify, that you can say you want to achieve X percent this year and then whatever? I'm concerned that we're just juggling with figures. And do you have a tracking system to see what happens to the students? Those who have undergone, you know, the lecture training program, what happens? Do they perform? How do we keep track of what is happening? And just something to understand better
you have on page 5 of your strat plan, you have set a lecturer development program ended 27 and a lecturer development program completed. So they are still in the program, but what is the target for how long will they be there? And you know, there's a north there, and I was just wondering if you could just go and explain that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the questions. I will now allow the chairperson and his team to respond to the questions. And in your response, you could be shocked at the point.
Thank you very much. We must admit that we are also greatly concerned at the project. We have previously not achieved all the targets. And we are working together with the Department of Higher Education and Training to ensure that we set smart targets, as the one member has indicated. As I've indicated, one of the things that we've done, we've looked at the bottlenecks, what have caused us to achieve some of their targets. And we came up with a plan to deal with them. But one thing I must highlight the fact that the establishment of the national office has helped us tremendously in improving this case, in achieving the target. And as I was also saying, that when we come back to present the annual report, we'll unfold the progress that we have made in that regard. The other issues are in terms of the collaborations as well with the Spain, and the other issues that we've raised with the Spain and the CEO.
Thank you very much, Jim. On the question of the first question about the work interpretation in the interview, I think when we had that discussion, I also said we have a serious retention taking place. And that has showed the aging of our reality, our creation, where the minds are aging down and their years are not in capacity for people to be on their side for safety. But we are in conscious engagement as a challenge case. With our regular offices, we have engaged the minds, and the picture has seen change for this current effort. And for the year, that has just been headed. So there's a great vast information report when we come back after the regular report presentation. In terms of the successes of the regular offices, as I'm telling you, like I'm producing whatever we have now in front of me, we have seen the impact over this past year. The fact that we are getting them out, the capacity has increased, our minds were not able to upload the training they have done, and with us availing capacity for them and having the relationship between us and their executive partners, we're able to share, have more of what we're doing at the center, being reflected and reported on. So this regular office has also helped, because young people are able to get identified with careers in mind, because they are right there and the school is very well. And also the fact that this office also has embargoed with Africa, but allocated to them. It makes them easy that they can address those communities that are on the mind. So that's the impact of the offices that we have up to now. And how to meet targets after our previous session? I think that was a question that was asked. And we have sat down and put the change in the state. We so much were able that we really moved more than 25%. From our previous years that she was because of a strategy that we implemented to a better performance. The mind state is transforming, it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge to get tested, but the collaboration that we have with the mind, especially through the chamber, or the programs that we do, if we exclude these challenges, economic challenges or potentially, we are getting people being exposed to our programs. We are getting people who have been promoted through the other education and training to professions in their jobs. So there is that understanding and change. The same applies to Artisan 8. Once they graduate, once they qualify as artists, there is that absorption. Our female colleagues, the number is increasing at the level which we have targeted at every because of the fund. But the mind at the country is a lot of challenges that we still have to face. At the boundary on their own, or are we making it as well? We are not. We know before we had a company called Kigewa working for
So we got the scheme internal. So we're dealing there. The department has requested in the past that we should do this, but we indicated that we were having a lot of commitments going forward. So that's why we are on their own. Actually, instead, we have a support from EDFA. The other way out to EDFA is our other commitments, like students, additional funding. Why can't the participants are shooting up every year? I wouldn't really say that, because in the last 4 years, that has not shown one, but throughout the years, that is the training has only been 90,000 men for 3 years. And when we established the unit at NGEDA, then it was not practically brought around the country to request all the training companies to increase them to 169,000. So that is that. They just propose us to move to 1 to 2, and that is the discussion that we consider. But it is really something that is difficult. On the other hand, the employers have been complaining about that. They say that figure is too low to train an assistant for 3 years. But they are concerned. So there are scenarios where we ourselves are having our own problems, where we change people that are going into the mine, and the prices are very high because we change costs on our own and no partnership with the mine. That's a similar problem we can share, I think it's in Malawi, where we have been in a lot of Malawi with the mine. What is criteria used for bothering? We are using one, the child should clearly be performing well. That is the first thing. Two, we have identified the areas that we want to support the same situation. So they should be within those areas. And those are the areas that are mentioned, it's 34 more than that, maybe the support of the area. And three, the income level of power should really be at the threshold that they need. Other than that, we don't really have also. You take a facility for job progressing? No, you take a community. Immediately you start isolating people, because you went for the money you see, people will be resenting. So everything that we read in infection, we just basically our books that is refreshment for Impala worker. But the real problem is that we change the community that is there. If you come to Bataway, we do the whole thing. If you come to our couple district, we could do programs the whole district. Because we cannot isolate people, that's creating social tension. How do you measure impact? Next is the very interesting thing. We have just mentioned we're in the second year of our MND unit. So we have set right a number of parameters on programs that are our complete programs. To say, in terms of the accidents, where are we? Where are these people? So we have left programs. And thankfully, this came from this very same house where we started, because 3 weeks ago there were here in Pula, and we asked them, and we put them in motion. So hopefully when we come back, we'll be able to get produced there, but we have started there as the advice of the staff. Thank you. Now, I think I have done my part except with anything that I have left out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. But currently I was seeking, there was an indication that the officer training has increased significantly the cost. And that it is now running at about 150,000, that's for the entire course. That money is and are there different sort of courses that are more sort of affordable, etc. Your bursary, do they run until the end of the course, or are they annually renewable, or is it allocated for a person to complete the study? And if so, do you apply the same sort of control mechanism such as NSF, where you have the course time plus two? Thank you, Chair. Okay.
Well, from my side, I know that the presentation touches on the revitalization of the stress mining town. So from where I'm sitting, it's not happening. Give you one practical example, Carolina. I grew up in Carolina. I'm out of Carolina. And you have this book. I'm just giving you one example. Now, if you could elaborate, because I see if you come in here and you introduce us in terms of the rural and urban development, but going to also assist in terms of job creation, but also in terms of transformation and the state job creation. Yes. Infrastructure development, job creation. I want you to elaborate. I'm only looking for two things for this visa. The impact and the result. So you've got beautiful plans, but how come we don't feel the impact? So it is the impact that's impact. Either we don't talk about the new word, so people can know about it, but for now, from where I am, we don't feel the impact. And this is what government is discussing, the impact. Alright? And then on your mind nutrition, this is another problem that is really affecting our community. You have correctly said you have a program that assists those that are entrenched, if I understood you correctly, by empowering them so that they can create a livelihood of their own. Again, yes, I don't care about. We don't feel it, and we don't see it. I'm sure you can then explain so that we can have an insight on ways so that we can start looking for it. What maybe I'll tell you what we see. And then youth development. The outcry
full committee member of the program that we are associated with. I think that's a great challenge that we have. And some years ago, we also decided to partner with the party so that we have the mining houses, the three mining houses, and this time is the core industry in Panama. So we get a funding group to train them, help them, and expose them, train them with our own mining college, the CTC, so that we can look into that program and ensure that the students that come out of that college are absorbed into the mine. So that is really the address of the mine, to ensure that the colleges are responsible to their needs. At the time, when we had this movement, I mean, you can see the foundation of the MGA program, we are promoting. So our control has, for those that are involved in that, that they are approved by the mine. So the mines are the partners now, and also having the volunteering on the number of people that they can absorb into those programs. The one thing about the actions of funding the same, yes, they are normally standardized by them, but the problem I'm referring to of trying to look at the funding, the money, it has your own funding. So we take everything that is normally standardized by employer, and then it will make the same of people more expensive, every engineering and another college and the private college for institutional training. It's different to do that, but the mines itself and the mines policy. So that's the only difference that is there. The funding of Bangladesh, yes, we go the whole route. We give the full funding, when we budget, when we approve for the studies, we bid for the number of years that will be there. But the conditions of progression are the same. If you don't pass, we take our Bangladesh away, we will repeat the process of the whole that we can come and apply for. So we have that same rule today. It's not just a free ride, you can just reach. And I think here, Madam Chair, we need to ask our leaders today in terms of the thousands and different thousands. Because what we are doing, I'm referring to Carolina particularly, what we are happening is that we are mostly also driven by the partnership with the mines. You find that most of the mines that are taking the drive to approach HG and all that, they are the ones that are easily attracted to the state. But in the worst instance, I think the worst instance is within those mines also, where we need to work, where the mines are not approaching as the standard. And I think the youth development is just there. We are in that phase. We will have to communicate more as to what we agree. A good example is what we are doing in the EPK, where we have program managing running, and that thing we in other districts, we're in Matotan. I'm currently involved with school malaria, where we have problems in the Matali, where we've got a lot of young people, especially in those areas where there has been disruption of schooling. So I'm working in those. So I think the chair has also had the necessity and the justice support of getting more money for this particular program. Because at every year, this is our second year, that we have started from the program called Community Development and Youth as a center. So the budget is going to be very checked out. So we look into those other investments in check. And I submit the rest, if the rest of the week will be. Oh, the beneficiary successes. In terms of the beneficiary successes, we have been clearly taking the things of juvenile manufacturing. And at the moment, we are busy looking into granite as an alternative mineral instead of just looking into the gold, diamond, and silver. So we have been involved in taking that college, Obis College. There is a center that we've got a curator in the Obis College where we train people in jewelry, I mean, better use of platinum. And we have the platinum company helping us. But again, this should be on a smaller scale of jewelry. We need to expand and more projects. We've lined up some processes in coal, we've lined up the standard as I've said, but our success has to point at being in the beneficiary and in the jewelry. A few years back when we had that forum with the minister, we came with program of action. And one of the things I was saying was once you develop this curriculum, it should help people to have better thinking out of the box to look into other minerals than they do. Especially because of the other two
discuss about the returns. And yeah, I think I have come up there, and let's add something on. That is in the finances CFO. This lecture support is really the challenge that is out of our control of the UK, because it's in here on the appetite of people in the academic sector who would like to move an academic class. It's not that because of the competition of people that are having here and people in the education sector. It's difficult to accept to take this in academic. So that's the problem because we need to shift this to our
Thank you.
Thank you. written presentation, but in a formal form of we're coming north to the Council of Leaders. I would like to start by indicating that we are really a little bit difficult in the complex question. Not just the one question that we transform. We have about 8 sub-sectors to call them chamber. Those sub-sectors are the key, the one is from each other. And if you can talk that time, it's challenging that it changes every day, depending on what the mother does and the mother performance, what are the demands in the market, and it changes. So at the end of the season, we have been planned, the annual plan, we have been placed level agreements, we have started for the changes and then we have a little bit in terms of what so I'm going to do a presentation on what we have planned and what we are doing currently and what is our plan going forward. So in that note, then we shall turn our hand over to the CEO and then.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I think the way in which you introduced me is just a reflection of the transport sector's new name. It is very rare to find a rose among the thorns. But thank you for giving us the time to come here and make a presentation of both our strategic plans and our MTP. In preparing to come here, we took it upon ourselves to bring all the chambers of the sub-sectors, as the chairperson has highlighted, mindful of the fact that we are almost approaching the end of the season's license, but also mindful of the fact that these are industry role players that are quite critical for the engagement with the harm. The outline of my presentation, before I even get into it, is just to highlight two things, Chairperson and members, if you would allow me. We have made just a minor revision on our strategic plan, not necessarily the content, but the actual printout that has come out in a different look. That might have said in the old strategic plan that we have, some pages might have moved their work or forward, but I will indicate where the new pages are when we refer to the specific strategic plan table and the title. My outline covers the following. We have just looked at the sector and thought we have incorporated it into an overview of the sector transport as a whole, and also with the context within which the planning of the strategic plan and the actual what the context was. And we then identified and highlighted the strategic priorities. So the first three are in the strategic plan holistically, and the last three are the things that are in the ACP, which is the second half of our document that you have, which was tabled. If we were to say for the transport sector, what is the vision? We decided to really choose a vision that speaks about innovation. Mindful of the fact that it can be business as usual. Things in the transport sector change quite drastically and quite speedily. And we therefore told ourselves we want to be at the heart of this innovation, signifying movement. We are a transport and the heart cannot operate without movement. And we therefore felt we would like to be at the heart of this innovation in the transport sector. Our mission is that we will be able to do that if we've got a proper financial assurance and a sales development framework and hopefully exceed our sales level agreement and stakeholder requirements in a manner that is quite effective and done by motivated and competent people. We just reflected our daily spend, mainly ranging from trust and ultimately finalizing with innovation. With regards to the transport sector as an industry, we just felt it important to just give you a geographical footprint of where we are at. We have our head of
We are a deep CPAC meeting in Limpopo, in three chief offices. One is in the Palace, the other one is in Zambia, and the last one is in the North Carolina. Over and above those, we are also working closely with the Commission Department of Transport, where they have given us offices to be able to leave our materials like Sylvia Guide and any other documentation that people in the provinces might require. We have a sub-document if necessary. If one looks at the sub-sector, among the four modes of transport, we're further divided the sub-sector into modes that do deal with intermodal and multimodal issues. And that is just reflected on that profile there. The sub-sector as a whole, this is only in the strategic plan coming from our team. We just wanted to show how each sub-sector employment statistics look like. You will see that the bulk is in the taxi industry, and the other sub-sectors, the composition therefore is reflected in the percentages. And the table below just shows the exact numbers of employees that are in the transport sector. In the age sub-sector that we are responsible for the skills development thereof. This includes private and public sector, and this also includes the sector that is also informal, sectors that are informal. If we look at the sector as a whole, we've got quite a variety of challenges, and this do impact and also inform what kind of development solutions we come up with. On the left-hand side, we'll reflect what those challenges are, and on the right-hand side, we'll reflect what kind of solutions have we been implementing over the 4 years of the NFC. So in a nutshell, not just existing the problem, but explaining how we deal with the challenges as they are. The first one is the one that is about women. Women are underrepresented in the transport sector at all the different sub-sectors. And the interventions that we as a CPA has put in place in collaboration with our stakeholders has been set to adopt schemes in order for us to encourage not only women to choose transport careers, but also to encourage young people in different provinces to actually use transport as a career. We were mindful that most people stumble into the transport sector by not by choice, growing up as you know, after end up in transport. And this is reflective of anecdotal of a number of people that might not even be thinking they would work in the transport sector. And therefore, our outreach programs are mainly focused on rural areas and also carry urban places and townships where there's a lot of disadvantages that students might not even be thinking of transport. The next one that we also do is to adopt schools in order for us to encourage them to take gateway subjects, which is in science and technology, mainly because the transport sector requires them, for example, mental science, most of them. And the reason why we adopted the school, we knew that supporting people is not a one-off thing. It requires that you do it over a sustained period. And we recognize that a school is not just the student. The teacher, the curriculum that is in the school, the leadership there, as well as the parents. So we then took it upon ourselves to really just create access by adopting quite a number of schools in the province. This we did with the support of the Department of Education, David, and they were the ones that identified the schools that required improvement. So that one, they would also be able to monitor them, and two, that we didn't just go to the same school that either that might not even be on their radar for development. We also are running a transport leadership program for this year for women. Over the years, we've been doing a leadership development program for men and women, but we realized we possibly need to focus a lot on for women over and above the other programs that we have. Of the schools that we adopt, we then give the school
surveys, and we then give a higher proportion of surveys to young girls in order for them to be able to then move throughout the system. And the other thing that I mentioned is highlighting, in the schools that we go to, we don't focus only on grade 12, we focus on grade 9 because we recognize they make subject choices when they go to grade 10. So we don't want to reach them when they're going to make subject choices for them. The next one is with regards to the transfer companies that we have on site. It's a huge number, but most of them are obtaining this mostly because they operate in formal industry, kind of bundle with the transfer industry. We are then supporting very small businesses through training and mentorship in order for them to grow and to be sustainable in the long run and ultimately be able to pay dividends. The result of them operating informally is that it creates a challenge for socialization. A lot of people are in temporary employment, and as a result, they don't get social benefits. And as a teacher, we're encouraging our employers to support different work principles. And our objective is to also support the qualifications that could lead people to formal employment. We're currently working with the Unemployment Insurance Fund. Over the past 4 years, we've been going through our roadshows and advocacy campaigns, encouraging the tech industry to start paying the wages. The other key challenge is HIV/AIDS, which is a higher than national average infection rate in the workplace sector. And what we have done to mitigate for that is that our professional travel qualification, which is in high demand, has an HIV/AIDS minister that seeks to raise awareness on protection against the disease. We also funded a variety of HIV awareness campaigns in collaboration with most employers, NGOs, and the government state. The challenge that really remains, especially with regards to the teachings of accidents, is that of the 50 children colleges, only 8 are offering transport-related national certificate of vocation. And we, therefore, in order to increase that transport becomes one of the program offerings that they offer, we are giving support and funding lecturer capacitation, curriculum development, artisan development, and giving various and providing students with opportunities for working at the sector. But we also have realized that our senior colleges could actually be accredited to offer a variety of other programs that are short courses, like learnerships and skills programs that might be in demand in a particular area. Management development is a critical area for us, and for women and young people, we are funding international leadership development programs. We have been doing this ever since 2012, and we intend to do so up until the end of the license, and hopefully beyond the end of the license. And we also have seen that we have got enough pool of young people that have gone for IOBP, and now there's a need for us for us to use FX-related senior managers so that we don't only train at the bottom level, because we believe leaders that are educated are more transformed and can provide an enabling environment for transformation. We also then are mindful of carbon emissions, and we fund postgraduate studies in green economy, innovation, and research. Our key challenge, which incoming centers could lead to us under-investing in critical skills or even over-investing in less critical skills, is that our current labor market data is not necessarily credible to an extent and it is also limited. So to that extent, we are forming partnerships with institutions of higher learning, both locally and internationally. In order to really just give the comfort to the committee that when we did our strategic review things in isolation, we just highlighted on this slide a variety of legislation and policies and the benefits of the transformation later, and all the national governments, both from the DHEC and the Department of Transport, and a whole range of things that informs the crafting of the strategic plan. And we also look at the environment that we work within. We use quite a variety of SWOT analysis and depth analysis, and we even look at our business itself. We look at things that would make it possible for the plan to work, we then came up with the strategic goals that led to the five strategic objectives. I must highlight that the CETA for the past 3 years has had a monitoring evaluation unit that we used to determine whether we're making an impact in Kenya. We looked at the financial sector. I'm not really going to detail in all of them, except to say we looked at political economy, societal technology, environment, and even the key legislation that would have an impact on the implementation of our planning and the planning thereof. Over and above the capital, we also looked internally at our strengths and at our weaknesses, and we also look at opportunities and threats that are maybe beyond our control, but that we can tend to our benefit. Some of the key highlights would be our income level has been stable for quite a while, which we believe allows us to be able to achieve the plans we have set for ourselves. We believe we've got very good leadership and good government. And then for the team that is multi-skilled and multi-faceted, the culture that is quite strong, our staff level is quite high, and we realize the chance of effective cultural sense of both social and economic development of the country. Obviously, businesses do exist, and we don't have enough offices in all provinces as we wish to. Our ICT system is not necessarily that integrated, and
Okay, you were saying
from five firms as well as the small firms that we want to support. And the second one is with regards to the workshops we undertake throughout the year. And I'm going to speak to the committee that on each of the panels will indicate the figure of the budget that we want to use for that. On page 67 is the number of vendors that we claim to receive for people that are unemployed, and even for vendors we give them according to employed and unemployed banner. Also the target for people that are in problems, for those that are unemployed and those that are unemployed. We also have a target for mentorship for both employed and unemployed, and we also have a target for those that are doing other education and training. That is on page 67. Going to the next page, page 68 is still continuing. That is our problem two. We've got activism targets that we have done, and also for people that we have trained and given recognition of prior learning, especially your activism that are currently not necessarily having a qualification as an activist. If I was to use my language, in the township you'll find a number of letters that if your car goes clean, they are interested in your car, but they don't have the qualification as a motor mechanic. So those are the kinds of people that we're referring to. Over and above those problems, at a higher level, we then have international leadership development problems that we develop annually. And you've divided them according to the leadership one, which is for the middle managers, the senior managers, and the negative is the negative one. Mindful of operation practice, we had a maritime leadership development program that we started last year, that we are proceeding with this year, and we also targeting to have a program for women, as well as to take all of our alumni and use them as people that could mentor other members in the chance of that. And then the last one, we do all of the things by partnering and having partnerships with a variety of stakeholders. So we set a target annually of the number of partnerships that we will set for partnerships. That is our problem two. Coming to problem three, which deals with financial assurance, that is on page 69. We set a target for materials that are aligned with the QCTO as well as the qualifications that are met through the new code, as well as the number of service providers that we can participate in order for them to roll out some of our training programs. And in each of the values, we will put money aside for the learning program itself and also put money aside for that administration level. We also have set in place a system that we could use to determine how effective and efficient we are with regards to moderation and evaluation, especially when the problems are being undertaken. And we set targets annually as well as for them and put aside for the variety of things. We need moderation, we need evaluation of problems and accreditation of providers. And then the last one is with regards to articulating, giving a number of qualifications and opportunities to be articulated from one level to the next. We've just done that recently with the mentorship that was up to level 4. We've just done an articulation to level 5, and we're hoping that it could then get to the level of teaching colleges and even universities. And then with regards to the last page, with quality assurance, on page 17, we also have targeted academic staff of student colleges and college providers that we intend to give them capacity to run out our program, and also the foundational learning content for the student colleges. In order for them to increase the numbers throughout the colleges that are giving chance of that. Program 4 is for youth. We decided to put youth aside because of the importance that youth need and because of the majority of the participants being youth. So we've got two targets for uptake of those that are out of school that manage higher education and training, and we've got a target for those that will be trained, and we also have a target for those that will complete and even be able to access higher education in the meantime. We also have put aside a target of a bridging program for students that are at positive and the energy related particularly in the engineering sector and in the engineering field. Page 72 continues with regards to youth development. We also have a target for young people that could be mentored and coached in the workplace, especially those that have just qualified. And then we also have the target for those that are not yet qualified, but that are either students, that might be at a private college, that might be acquiring workplace experience, and those that might be, as part of their learning, be required to be in the workplace. And then we also have the career guidance booklet that we do distribute, to schools, and we work in close collaboration with our stakeholders. And we then don't only give out the book, we go to the schools, we work with the schools to have a career exhibition, and sometimes, and most of the time, we go to the rural provinces. We realize that we cannot leave the book and expect people to know much more. Over and above the career guidance in page 74, we then target to capacitate the teachers who are doing career guidance in schools, the online orientation teachers, so that they can then be able to make sense of what the guidance is for the students when they are there. So when we do do a career expo, we also capacitate the teachers, and then we then also have the schools that are adopted by us in order to support that. And then the last one, which is on page 75, is our plan over the year and throughout the quarter to support small, medium, and micro enterprises with NGOs, CEOs, cooperatives, and labor unions. And we've given a target we can do some properly, and we've got an annual target on the budget. And that's in a nutshell is our plan for 2016, both in one and the quarter. So I'll be guided by you, Chairperson, whether I should proceed until I get to the budget allocation.
Thanks. Let's listen to the budget allocation presentation.
The slide that follows is the budget that we have for the current year. The total budget is 66. We must identify and highlight that we are projecting. Our expected revenue was that we were going to get 643.8, but because of the checking, we needed to apply this happening for them to remove that checking so that we can be able to achieve what we have planned. Otherwise, we would be underfunded by saying we were 1 million. We have just demonstrated which part of the budget goes to what project. My data is 130 million, our main incident is almost 79 million, and the entire discretionary grant is about 444 million. The next slide shows which of the problems constitute the core of what the DIPA does. And it's demonstrated on the red part, 78% of our budget goes towards mentorship, activism, and all of those good problems. And the goal one means 32%. Goal 3, being classification of 3%, and the one that uses youth is 14%, and the last one that uses focusing on retaining is about 3% of our budget. And below, we do a breakdown of the actual figures in amount. And on the right hand side, we have also been moving further to take of the 78% that goes towards your core program, which is occupationally directed programs, which part constitutes what? The balance goes towards artisan development at 30%, leadership at 36%, skills programs at 4%, business at 14%, and small, medium enterprises and ages, the cognition of climate, as well as internships. Internships is 10%. Of our budget. So that is the balance exposed to, especially with regards to problem two. We have prioritized leadership and African development as reflected both at stage six and the incentives of our future budget. The next slide is the SLA. This one I will just pass it across the bottom slide. And our alignment to the white paper, how ready we are to respond to the white paper, we just reflected the strategy. I'm not going to go through that in light of the time. And then we'd like to bring the attention of the committee the things that we can do, or the things that we currently do, but we want to increase our focus in the coming year and beyond. We are supporting a variety of strategic initiatives of governance, strategic infrastructure projects in a variety of provinces, and we just reflected on that slide the financial commitment for each and each of the current projects they have. So even for Operation Akisa, we've got a focus in the coastal provinces, and we've reflected with which institutions we're working to cover the Operation Akisa initiatives. And for aerospace, in a critical industry, we're also participating in a variety of initiatives to see how the industry itself can be transformed. And for the textile industry, which is an industry we love, we are also helping them to pilot and roll out a program that will allow them to do express parcel delivery. And then all the other sub-sectors, we are going to do a completion of planning for backyard motor mechanics in all of the provinces, in consultations with the Department of Transport in all provinces and the offices of the Premier, with an intention to get people the level where they can actually get involved in the mainstream of the economy. The last two slides, Chairperson, are just in detail what we are doing to support Operation Katiza. Internally, we realize we also need to increase our capacity in order for us to respond. We also fund students, master's and PhD students, at World Maritime University, and we're doing a variety of projects under the auspices of an institute that is based in Cape Town, and we're also a member of the South African International Maritime Institute that is being set up in the University of Nelson Mandela Metropolitan. And in the aviation industry, reflecting what we're doing, and also for the taxi delivery, travel delivery model, we just reflecting some of the things that we do, that we believe would make the maximum impact in the industry as a whole. We have that highlighted in 10 of things. We are always on the path of improvement and continuous improvement, and we just highlighted some of the things that we will do internally to improve in collaboration with our stakeholders. The committee asked us to report intervention, and we've just done one pager reflecting what happened with the investment that the institution made with Fidentia in 2005. We had made a presentation to the previous committee, and if more feedback is required over and above the one that is reflected there, we will provide that. But in essence, we have invested 200 million in Fidentia, and the mandate given to Fidentia was that it would be invested with any rate of financial institutions. Unfortunately, that was not what happened, and the money was invested in other places. And what ultimately happened was that throughout the period, she had bought the 15 million, and then the balance of 185 remained invested up until the FSB placed Fidentia on curatorship. This led to the fraud cases against the investment company itself, as well as for the former CEO who was dismissed in charge criminally. The lessons we learned was for us to review our investment policies to ensure that committed funds are only invested with major banks that are approved by Treasury. And most recently, all of our committed funds, and most recently the bulk of it, is invested with the Center for Policy Public Deposit. We have submitted a claim of 185 and not recovered in full. We second tranche in the last year, and we have been told that we might get a third tranche, but we just wanted to highlight to the committee that we might not be able to the full amount that has been invested in the in a nutshell. That brings us to the end of it.
Thank you, Madame, honorable members. I'm now allowing you to reflect on the presentation and engage. Mr. Suena, Ms. Killian, Ms. Kuhn, Mr. Dagmin, and Mr. Ma. In that order.
Thank you, Jennifer, for the opportunity, and thank you for the presentation that we have received. The vision of these three objectives, the heart of skills, innovation in the transport sector. Well, it's quite a good vision, but then I want to ask, if you look at their geographical footprint, they have an office in Randburg, which is Gauteng, and also they are present in Limpopo. Now, given the complexity of the transport system in the country, everybody uses transport and people need to know about the transport. How are the other provinces benefiting from the programs of these CETA? Since it appears you are not present in these other provinces, maybe we can get a clarity on that for you to be able to realize your level so that we all benefit and actually feel your presence and impact in areas also where you have your clients. The other issue is with regard to that should be program number 4, if not mistaken. Yeah, program number 5 is with regard to program number 5. The entity aims to train 150 small entrepreneurs and also give them support. Again, you aim to mentor and support a further 100 small entrepreneurs and also 14 cooperatives that you'll be training and giving support, and 16 NGOs and CPOs, as well as about 10 led by the union. The question then would be, in what way will CETA support the 150 small entrepreneurs that will be trained? To the NGOs and the CPOs will be trained and supported for their skills needs, how will the entity know the skills needs of the finally, how will the entity select the 10 member unions? Thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Suela, next.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I would like to start off by saying thank you very much for a very comprehensive strategic plan. It's very good reading. In particular, I think page 72 indicating your uptake of youth in places of workplace is very interesting, and that we will follow very clearly because that is a critical component of the system. It helps nothing if we put people through bursaries and then workplace does not take it. So I think that is very good. Secondly, Chair, I would just like to say that it is a serious city that the lecture happens. But what is good about it is at least that there was consequence management. That a person is dismissed, discharged criminally, I don't know where that person is,
but it is a sort of person that should be listed on a blacklist, that should never be employed in any public institution ever again. That is a source of register that we should keep as a government, because clearly we cannot allow people to utilize funding and to stay around with funding. Jay, I would like to just come to an issue, and my question relates to page 21 of your annual report, which links up with page 79. I just want to understand your relationship with the Department of Transport there. I would have believed that it's very important that we don't operate in silence, and that nowhere do I really see the link up. Also not with the delivery program, delivery partners, etc. What is your relationship with the Department of Transport? Clearly, if the Minister of Transport says our people are being killed on the roads, we are going to have to implement certain measures. Now, many figures are usually pointed at the taxi industry. And we also understand what is happening in the taxi industry, that taxi drivers are often at the mercy of taxi owners, and therefore they are driving with dispatch that are more sort of, plastic or paper type of dispatch, etc., because they don't keep the wheels rolling. But what is the impact of this seizure? Seeing that the taxi industry, we look at your numbers, that is by far the biggest component. Secondly, to what extent are you looking at the taxi industry to promote small business development further? And what I mean is, for instance, its involvement, and that is where you need to touch base with the Department of Transport, to optimize the taxi industry to promote local tourism. You see, there's a particular bad image of the taxi industry that needs to be turned around. What are we doing? Are you going to put them through advanced driving programs? Where are those standards set? Can you have a role there? Can you give advice to the quality, that difficult body, QTC, what it is? the QTCO. Whatever. We all understand what I'm referring to. So I was going to say to them, we need to improve the driving standards and therefore the training. And can they be in a better position once they have those additional, sort of qualifications? So that is my one question, and then just the other one that I wanted to briefly comment on. I'm very happy that you're establishing some other information system. I'm just a little concerned that you want to conduct your own research here. Don't we have adequate research institutions that you could link up with? You know, we have the Human Science Research Council, we have SAT-ESA, we refer to SAT-ESA as the only sort of, but they have annual household surveys, etc., and it's so scientific. Are we not duplicating unnecessarily, and therefore tying up money that could have worked directly to improve the qualifications of people in the sector? Last year, my concern about international qualification for leadership programs. Is it necessary to go to international institutions? Don't we have adequate local institutions where leadership development could take place? Is that not additional funding? Is that not causing unnecessary trips, etc.? I'm concerned because we sent 15 taxi drivers to some other international course. What are they bringing back? Are they bringing back the ability to train others? What is it? So sometimes a little sort of
sort of trying to spread money all over without having a focus and saying, this is what we want to achieve. We want to make an impact. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keegan. Over to
my first question would be, I'm going to check. Department attended a couple of years ago a partnership biggest financing and reproduced among 30 vehicles in the country. And I'm interested to know what has been the relationship between the CETA and those programs, in particular in effort to diversify the activities of both taxi owners, but also those who want to invest in parks and other related material that could be used by the taxi. One of the worrying factors about growing the national education around the public and private transport in South Africa is that I don't seem to get the understanding that the universities, in particular the universities and technicals that were called historically disadvantaged, I don't seem to get the understanding that there is a strong measure to reinforce the culture of what I would call the new generation of colleges. Those universities of technologies and primary universities, they consistently continue up until this stage to not diversify. And one of the things that maybe organizations like yourself have to do is to assist them with greater investments. Some of them are well located within the big transport nodes to really make diversification happen. I would imagine, for instance, if you can work with the University of Free State to enrich its campus, I think it is the one in Guaco, which provides economic and geotransport services to four provinces, to the university that has got such a great location. It must have been never thought in the past, but the reality now is that that university, no matter how small or big, it has got Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, and Gauteng. And if it might be, or if it can hold a transport degree, it would be very much easier for those who find attraction to the user place and the students who are produced by that university, because there is a connection there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mbata. I will now call upon Mr. Chesterton to and the Chesterton team to respond to
the first question we asked by the public was about our footprint, our office in London, and the three of us in Limpopo only. How do we reach the other provinces? We answer that the CEO of the Congress made the committee to the committee of the
thank you, Chair. The current plan that we have to reach out of provinces is to work with the Department of Transport number one in the provinces so that they can be our local node when we don't have people Polish presence. There was a question that was being why the three is important and how we came about to choose the three. The three biggest colleges that we chose to work with was actually an agreement between the TISA and the department. So the department saw the need for TISA colleges and TISA to work closely together. They then identified nodes and multidisciplinary teams and identified areas in each province where each TISA could work. So the TISA colleges were the lead TISA in the Limpopo as a result of our collaboration with the department and other TISA.
There was a question about the 150 entrepreneurs. In what way are we going to support them? How do we identify them? And how do we select all the other targets that we are doing for corporate citizens? How we work is when we set the target, it is informed by the baseline of that we should be the through this year. What kind of approach from our perspective, and for us to then be able to know how we can identify those people are, we actually make an open call for past applications to come, and we will identify what the areas of focus should be. Our second phase then will identify where the critical needs are, and we will then, for cooperatives, for example, CEOs and NGOs, we would then guide them as far as possible when they do respond to our call for applications to be made in order for them to be able to apply for something that, number one, would help them to be able to achieve that they want to achieve. So how do we select them? They make applications, we review the applications, and we don't only stop by watching the application on paper. If we see that this is something of duty and the target has been met, we then do what we call a due diligence to check if they've got the capacity, if we can have a greater chance of success going to happen. How will we treat the 10 labor unions? The 10 labor unions are going to apply. If we see that they don't apply and our target is not going to be met, we then do quite a year. Stakeholder engagement with the different groups there. So we will go to all the unions and tell them, in terms of our perspective, that we believe the industry requires the following support. We encourage you to apply. The budget available for it is this much and that much. And that is how we then work with all stakeholders. It does happen that sometimes we call for applications, but the numbers are far greater. And our budget we can take care of us. We then really be on a first-come-first basis and even on the capacity as well. And for those that we might not be able to meet for that year, because maybe our budget is exceeded, we will then put them on the largest qualifying for the following year. We also put that year aside for instances that it happens that a contract gets cancelled, but we don't. Then we go for a full cycle of applying and having to go through due diligence, which is like a stopgap measure. We have come up with to deal with targets where we under performing through the whole of our own. The other question was from thank you for the comment for the workplace. We're very proud of the work that we've done, especially with regards to providing placement in the industry. And indeed, we have valuable lessons to learn from the Asia. What I'm really pleased about, especially with the support of the board, is we did not allow the Asia to hamstring us, but we used that opportunity to go and serve our stakeholders and trust in the fact that we've got good governance principles. So it was something that I thought was a valuable lesson that allowed us to go out there and be very careful. With regards to the relationship with the Department of Transport, I'm highlighting we have a very good working relationship with the Department of Transport. If I was just to highlight, with the National Department of Transport, over the years, especially for the tech industry, they have been, when they did the textile check program, and even during 2010, just before World Cup came, the textile industry approached to them, and we identified a professional driving problem for the taxi industry. But we had a focus on customer care. We wanted the taxi industry to have customer care that was good and know how to really realize that they are going to be serving people from the airport and different places. They need to keep the South African brand a better name. So over a number of years, the Department of Transport funded the training of taxi operators throughout all of the provinces, and in that helped for us to turn the corner in 2010 and another year now. Over and above the training of the taxi industry,
which is called Transport 2020. They recognize that in the very chain of transport, it's not only about transporting passengers, but there are other things that they should get involved. What we have done as a result of that recognition was to work with the taxi industry in our structure to identify the possible area that we are currently doing that they might not have a lot of potential balance business-wise. Typical example, you get to a taxi industry, you give them a parcel. They actually deliver a parcel extra, but they don't charge extra price. Whereas if you want to, your courier services, you're going to pay an arm and a leg for it. So in recognition of the fact that they are in courier services, we then saw the fit having taken part of the people in that industry to some of the best calls in the world, that there is actually a distribution opportunity for the taxi industry. They could offer services to their current clientele. They could also be able to explore other opportunities, which is why, due to the question that came from some of the members who took them overseas, because there was no cost infrastructure that could give them the best practice that would make them to be recognized. So we took them overseas and we worked with the Department of Transport. They wanted to actually turn the taxi industry into a business. And the plan is for them to be cooperative. So we worked with the Department of Transport, we took the taxi industry, we took the owners in all of the provinces, and the plan was that they would train the trainer, come back and pilot the program in consultation and in collaboration with some of the stakeholders that we have. That plan and that program is part of that which we are doing, which is the second phase. First phase took them for training, second phase is now the rolling out and the piloting of actually getting benefits by region from the express parcel deliveries that we are doing. So in a nutshell, we are looking at optimizing that which they have, but also changing their destinies. Another contribution that we are doing with the Department of Transport is before our sector skills plan goes to the department, it has to be funded by the Department of Transport for them to confirm that it reflects their priorities as well as a strong arm of government. Internally, they sit in most of our structure, they cooperate in most of our research programs, they collaborate with us on stakeholder engagement, and they do work a lot with us, both provincial and both national. Can we play a role in regulation? Yes, we can play a role in two. First is the regulation of driving schools. In South Africa, anybody can enter the driving school, whether they are a good driver or a tutor. How we play a role is for us to work with the Department of Transport when we have come up with a regulation to train the driving schools that we can recognize and then give them credit when the regulation has been done. The second one is we can play a role in training drivers so that we avoid drivers that are on the roads that are not drivers, possibly gone and likely from other means. So our contribution in road safety is at the beginning. And this might not have come creating our plan, but one of the things we've been doing with provinces and chief of colleges has been to give teachers as students an opportunity in the distancing process to actually go through a simulated driving process, and then when we are finished, they can go for a license. In the first phase, we also have a driving program for people that are disabled, that they can then get an opportunity to go farming. Going forward, one of our plans is we can't share some of the drivers. We just don't have the driver for it. But at least have an effective member that we can say we are sure those drivers have gone through proper driving. So in a nutshell, I'll just give you just an outline of how we work with the Department of Transport. There was a question about are we going to take things by letting our own research? No, we're not. We believe somebody must be internal that can manage the different researchers in order for us, number one, to make sure that the quality is good, they understand research methodology. Our research team is not a big team, but we believe for the transport to remain competitive, it is necessary for us. better for us to take it from all the things. Yes, okay. The city has cost. It is a cost well invested. Of all the people that we've taken overseas over a number of years, we've taken them to support Baba recognized globally for them to come back with cost-cutting innovation and research and in knowledge that could be shared with the sector. Could we do it internally? Clearly, the plan is not sustainable to send people overseas all the time. So the plan is to send a number that could be an alumna that can now then build the capacity in Hemary in the country, but continue to share expertise throughout the world. There was a question from Honorable Mishu about women underrepresentation. I've answered the question about what an anticipated influence of the colleges offices in the college in Limpopo, but we acknowledge the input with regards to more needs to be done for train drivers and for talent, especially for women. What is the spread of provinces with regards to, I think this one was with regards to the adopted school. We've got all of the provincial names. It will take me about 56 schools, but in all provinces we can just reflect and promise that we will provide the statistics where required. In the Western Cape is 4 schools, in Mpumalanga is 6 schools spread across the different provinces. In the Limpopo is 4 schools, in the Northwest is 6 schools, in the Eastern Cape is about 8, in Gauteng there are 6, in Western Cape there are about 4. In all the provinces actually, we've got a number ranging from 4 to about 8, and they all go across the variety of regions. How were they selected? Peter did not select them. It was the department itself that said, this is our area of focus for improvement that you can help us with. Youth with disabilities, you ask a question if we do have a target. You know, when you set a target for the commission, it's not easy to say, I'm going to meet up with this thing. But indeed, when we do find disabled people requiring training, we do provide training. It is not easy to start making training if you don't learn the training of going to apply for that training. With regards to the delivery, can we identify the students and the other students for delivery? How we do delivery application if we do internally and both with NSOC? We advertise and we let the students apply, both through the process of evaluation, and we obviously aggregate a number that we go to teacher colleges and universities and so forth. How many interior experts perform? It really depends on the needs. In some instances, you might find that we have a greater emphasis in one province, depending on that which might be identified as a need in that province. Why is it that we only have 8 colleges out of the 50? It is simply because there was not enough material, there was not enough tutors that could offer the courses for the transport in all the Chile colleges. But because this is a new program, the MCD in transport, it started in 2010. It was one collaboration that we also had with the Department of Transport to see how we can improve the traction in all the treatment colleges. With regards to the data to the aerospace industry, indeed, it is a very critical industry for us. If you look at the current makeup, you don't find too many women, you don't find African youth. What we have done as a teacher is to, as far as possible, encourage young people to get bursaries when they do apply, and also work with those flight schools that are not going to be fly by night, cost them an arm and a leg, and ultimately not give them an opportunity to be able to finish. We have a few young folks that are going through aviation training. But because of the recognition that we've seen over the years that there's a lot of pilots that are going for training, but they don't have enough flying hours. We've identified that as a teacher, we're going to have to come up with a research to determine the best chances of not only getting a pilot license, but getting into an airline and getting the workspaces. In this regard, we're working with SAA and other airlines in order to come up with a program that has identified best chances for pilots to finish and also to get into the workplace. We therefore participate in the Department of Transport Initiative Transformation Agenda that intends to improve the industry. That I can highlight, it is obviously an upstream effort, but we're working in close collaboration. With regards to the text of the chat, when I was answering the question with regards to the text, I respected to the diversification process that is in place, which is a text part of Express Passenger Design. That's the money government and helping the taxi industry to also be beyond transportation their clients. With regards to the universities, you're right, the actual problem offerings are not necessarily new generation and to an extent that they could be a lot of innovation. But of the universities we have in the country, we have supported when we are supporting the Water Pacific University, which is in Intaco, in order to help them to impact a number of things that would enable them to be at a level that could be competitive. Over and above that, in the slides, even though I was running through them, we also have indicated that we have supported 4K. We are in the process of identifying needs with them. And we're also working with the University of Northwest, we've been working with the University of West UK. We're also working with the Department of Education through their Center of Development, finding that they have for the university to determine how we can come up with new programs of funds, depending on the university's expertise. And I think to a certain extent, our participation with the South African International Maritime Institute is for us to enable the Nelson Mandela University to be able to offer international recognized qualifications for the maritime industry. And hence, we have funded students that have gone overseas. But the intention is ultimately to help the institution to establish for maritime to be done here. With free space, we don't have collaboration, but I'm sure we are always open to collaborate with the different institutions as and when they come. I'm not sure if I've answered all of the questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there further questions?
the nature of our first our gathering up that they were not just dealing with one to a number of modes of transport, and all these modes of transport they are transporting the human beings and the drive. And they are changing according to what the demand for the reasons of that, then they are very complex. You need them to come and keep on playing. But what we need is the situation. If you look at all our previous reports, including this annual report that we are ready, you will see that we are doing all the best that we can do in order to manage this diversity that we are ready in electricity, in a transport. You can see now what we are doing with America, you see transportation. Could they move up now that they have this only land transport and so forth. And then the dimension, the element that can be included in the transport is not, it's no longer only for the distribution in the transport. They are still part of it, they are dealing with distribution that's so useful. So these are the complexities that are in the transport that they are dealing with. That. But in terms of where our name is going, that government is quite right to do. You can see our reports and their programs that we are doing that and here to get to many what we are getting in terms of the next.
They end up
good that